ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome Beyond the Panel, episode 2. I'm your host, Brian. You can refer to me as Professor S.
And I am your co-host, Curtis. You may call me Dr. Mensforth.
We're so glad that you can join us here on Beyond the Panel here today on UMFM. Curtis, my friend, how are you doing today?
I am doing spectacular.
Yeah? Spectacular? As in Spider-Man, maybe?
Spectacular. I'm doing amazing.
Outstanding. Astonishing.
Absolutely.
Wicked. We were so enthused and pleased with our response last week that you guys gave us, so thank you so much for that. Curtis answered a couple emails. I answered a couple tweets. Keep it coming. If you guys want to talk to us, hit us up at btpcomic umfm or through the Gmail beyondthepanelumfm@gmail.com. We're thrilled to answer your questions, even
absolutely
have any sort of
feedback,
conversations, anything like that. So we're really pumped.
Definitely.
About that. Let's get really quick into this. So first off, we're going to start off with a little bit of news that we didn't get to talk about last week. A brand new thing from IDW, of course, mostly famous for a bunch of third-party type stuff, a lot of famous property stuff. They do, of course, the brand new run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
They are coming out with a print-only 200-page quarterly hardcover magazine called Full Bleed. In this magazine, it's supposed to be all about creative culture, comics, culture, music, fine art, design, and more. The first issue is supposed to have interviews with Stephen King and Alan Moore. It's supposed to contain
wow.
short fiction, some comics, some other stuff. I don't think I was originally excited about it, but like, if they're interviewing people like Alan Moore, Stephen King, and they're
some
having
really big names that they're drawing in.
Yeah, if they're having like short fiction and some small comic stuff in there, some individual unique things to Full Bleed. I originally thought that it wasn't going to be successful, but I'm not one of them.
If you're
it
really into like behind the scenes and kind of what goes into like making comics, I think it's a good idea, definitely.
I think it's going to be a price point thing, though.
That's the main thing, is a hardcover costs money. So,
like a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's...
How much do you think?
30? Probably like...
40?
40.
Yeah?
Yeah.
4 times a year, 40 bucks.
That's my guess.
That's $120 a year for a magazine.
It's a lot to ask,
I mean,
definitely.
I guess that's like fine-ish, that's 10 bucks a month, but at the same time, like, it's kind of... it's kind of crazy.
It's not super accessible, but it might be cool, though.
If they keep having such awesome things as, like, Alan Moore interviews in there...
I would love to.
But
I'd
like,
love to read that.
Within the day and age of the internet, like, how quick do you think that, like, those interviews will leak out?
That's the thing, too, is, like, this kind of thing, I find most people would go for a digital version of this over, like, a physical hardcover.
But it's print-only.
And that's the thing, is, like, I don't know how many people are actually going to, like, buy a print-only type thing.
I'm not.
I guess if you're really into collecting.
I'm really interested in it, but I'm not.
Same.
The cover artwork is really beautiful. I'm going to toss a picture out here. I'm going to tweet a picture out here, probably as we're talking, but more likely after the fact. The cover of it is actually really nice looking. It's a really beautiful, it's like very minimalistic.
Oh, that's sick.
It's super good looking. I like it, but like at the same time, like... I'm not gonna buy it.
We'll see how it does.
Yeah. I'm hoping it does good because this is exactly the kind of thing. This is the ambitious type of adventure where if it fails, it could be really bad
yeah,
for
we'll,
IDW.
We'll see how it does.
Rolling into the next topic, talking about things that have been ambitious previously but aren't any longer. Our main topic of the day. The best bromance of all time. My favorite comic book duo. Do you any guesses, Curtis?
Blue and Gold.
Yes, Booster Gold and the Blue Beetle, Michael John Carter and Ted Kord. Of course,
legendary team up.
Showing up originally together in the original run of Justice League International, which ran from 87 until, I want to say, 91?
92.
Yeah. Very classic comic. It's a tough read now. I went back to try and read it, and it's... They use language like gee willikers quite
frequently.
It's definitely
a product of the time that it was made, but at the time, it was certainly way different than like any other team book because it was so like satirical.
Batman was portrayed as such a jackass.
He was. I mean, he punched Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner's a mess of
his
own.
Not that Guy didn't deserve it, though. So,
absolutely.
I mean, it was justified.
But, yeah. So, like, why do you think that they work and why do you think that they're so funny?
I mean, the thing with Booster and Blue Beetle is they both indulge each other's crazy ideas. Like,
Yeah.
If any one of them has a crazy, wacky idea, the other will just completely go along with it. It's just hilarious.
For the most part, right? Like, I mean, there's a comic we're going to talk about.
Not every time. Yeah,
we're gonna, there's a run that we're going to talk about very brief, well, probably very extensively, very shortly. So, like, what's your favorite moment of the two of them together?
Two of them together was the panel you showed me stealing Martian Manhunter's cookies.
Yeah, so that's from Martian Manhunter 24.
I laughed so hard.
I don't remember what year it is. I'll post the Imgur link again on our Twitter if you want to check it out. But basically, it's from Martian Manhunter 24, and he's like, you know, like, I used to have a problem, and I wasn't necessarily proud of it. And he tells this flashback story where, like, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are just killing themselves laughing, and Guy Gardner starts talking about himself in the third person. And he's like, I'm going to find out what you guys did. And Blue Beetle's like, okay, you got us. We stole John's cookies, right?
Yeah.
And he's, like, in love with Oreos.
He absolutely loves them.
And so they stole all of his cookies, and they went out for, like, a 17-mile radius around the embassy and bought all of the cookies.
Which is just only a thing Booster and Blue Beetle would do.
And Ted Kord's super rich, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they were able to afford it. And John comes out, and he's like, where are my cookies? And he's losing it, right? And Blue Beetle and Booster Gold just take off because they... He goes down to the corner store first and then throws a fit.
Yeah.
Because he can't find any more cookies anywhere. And...
He's normally calm and collected, but not when it comes to his cookies, man.
And then he finds out that Booster and Ted took all the cookies, and he starts chasing them. And they
that image alone.
They fly by the UN office, and Ted Kord's trying to convince them. And then because he gets like that nosebleed when he's trying to mind control people,
right?
And so Blue Beetle and Booster Gold go flying past, and then John goes flying past in like a super angry form,
just wackiness and hijinks.
And all of a sudden, it blows out the window, and all of a sudden, his nose just poof, just ruptures blood out.
Oh my goodness!
Because he was so like he's trying so hard to make them forget that it happened.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what a mess.
Legendary scene.
So good.
Amazing. Sums up their relationship so well, just because they're the best of friends.
Oh, it's just it was brilliant. And so the thing we wanted to talk about, as I mentioned, I gave you a whole list of comics I thought you should read, because I've read just about everything.
Yeah,
involving
you're
those
definitely
two.
A bigger fan of Booster and Blue Beetle than
they're
I
so
am.
They're so funny.
But I love them.
And they're so heartbreaking, too. Like, yeah. The thing is, like, I read just about any sort of art I indulge in. I do it so that I'm an emotional person. I do it to try and get more emotion. And, like, I don't get any more laughter intensity sometimes, oftentimes, because of the way that Ted's life.
They are a married couple.
More or less. Have you read any of the Injustice 2 stuff yet?
No, I haven't actually read Injustice stuff.
I'm pretty sure they're leaning to the fact that they're gay together in that.
In that universe.
I'm fairly certain, because, like, Booster Kid, like, he comes and he's like, because he's a time cop in the Jeff Johns run from 2011.
Yeah,
Dan Juergen's Jeff Johns run, which is super good and you should read, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a time cop with his son, Rip Hunter.
Right.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
And so in Convergence and Injustice, he goes back and meets two separate versions of Ted Kord. And basically, because he knows that he can't muck about with time, both times he's like, I'm going to be there when it's over. And Ted's like, oh my God, like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I love you, Teddy.
Oh my goodness.
And then, like, he goes back, and after, in Injustice, he gets killed by Killer Croc, and he's like missing limbs.
Wow.
And Ted shows up, or Booster shows up, and he's like... And they're making fun of each other as Ted's dying.
That sounds about right.
They're making and Booster's like I'm really sad. And Ted's like, yeah. And Booster's like, well, I mean, mostly just because I didn't get to make fun of your costume more.
Yeah.
And then Ted dies, and Booster kisses him and says goodbye, Ted.
Okay.
And then disappears, which is like heartbreaking.
That is an alternate timeline, so we're not talking mainstream DC,
right? Because
but...
mainstream DC, he gets killed by Max Lord.
Yeah, and we will talk about that definitely.
Right. But so we both ended up reading formerly known as Justice League, which is so good,
just
which you should read.
A riff on like just
what did you think of it?
A parody, I guess, of like comics of the time. It was so good.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely loved it. I mean, it was six issues, so it's not hard to just zoom through that little series.
What year did it come out in? I can't remember.
2003.
Okay.
Right before Identity Crisis.
Right.
The next year, which put Elongated Man through quite the trauma.
You love elongated men.
Yeah, you know, so I'm a big elongated man.
So that was the first. That's the first time I've ever read anything involving elongated men.
He's super lighthearted in that.
How? Like, I mean, I loved that. How was that compared to a lot of his other stuff?
It, like, they got his character so well, because like he's just this really innocent but funny, just good natured guy, and they got that aspect right. But he can also be really serious too.
Fair.
He's known for being the best detective besides Batman, oddly enough.
Oh. Interesting.
His detective skills are among his skill set.
Yeah, which is really interesting, because like I know that
and he's a chemist.
Blue
too.
Beetle is supposed to be a really good.
Blue Beetle is one of the smartest guys in the DC universe,
right? And he's the only one that ends up figuring out that Max Lore is ahead of the Omeg Project in the in Infinite Crisis, right?
Right.
So that's something that I remember. It's the only time him and Booster didn't mess something up. They were the ones that were ahead of the curve.
Normally, they always embark on kind of zany adventures, but that was the more serious time.
So, like, what was your favorite part of Formerly Known As?
Formerly Known As the Justice League. That was a super funny book. I would say one of the best parts of that was probably, well, I found it funny that Booster Gold was married to like a 70-year-old woman,
which you never see her, by the way.
No, and it was just for her money.
Yeah,
very Booster Gold.
He just wanted to be lazy.
Yeah, he just wanted to.
Ted
live
got really
life.
Upset at them for that.
Yeah,
like, really upset at
Ted,
him.
Ted and Booster had quite the spat in that series.
Yeah. But they ended up working it out, I think.
They did. But yeah. it definitely tried their relationship. One of the best parts was the Harvard thugs.
Yes.
So funny.
There's a group of guys who, like, they're thugs, right? Like, they're street toughs, and they're like running a racketeering business and like a protection stuff. But like, they only speak in like super.
They're Harvard scholars. They major in
very
like
well spoken
17th century like Victorian
literature.
It's just so
ridiculous. they're all incredibly well spoken, and then they've got some sort of weird power that's never really
kind
explained.
Of some psionic mind powers.
Yeah, it's never really explained all that well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then they end up fighting the Justice League Super Buddies, that's right.
That's what they're dubbed as. It's very much like a corporate team, because they have like
and Ted Kord
a
has
sponsor.
That stupid commercial, and they all hate it. Oh my god.
So
there's
funny.
No way that Nick Spencer didn't read that to base Superior Foes of Spider-Man off of, right?
There's a strong chance, just because they are fairly similar in tone, style,
like,
kind of like
even
execution.
The art style is super similar.
I really like the art in this.
It's very good.
It was very nice.
Very simplistic, but mm-hmm. super well done.
It was very good, man.
I blew through it. It was so quick. It's such an easy read.
Man, one of the best parts about that, besides what I mentioned, was Elongated Man being called a four. When they were ranking characters.
Yeah, so Beatrice and who's Elongated Man's wife?
Sue Dibney.
Sue Dibney. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about Elongated, or no, they're talking about the Movers, and Beatrice says that one of the Movers
guys
is like an 8 or a 9 or something mm-hmm. like that. And Elongated Man sticks in and literally elongates his nose as he's telling a joke and says, "Well, you tell me, yeah, I'm a 10 every time." And like, as soon as he's gone, she's like, "He's actually a 4. She's like,
his
"Oh my
wife
god,
doesn't want to accept
I'm married a 4.
But she does, but she loves him anyways.
Because he's great. He was so funny in that. I want to read more Elongated Man because
that is such a fun character.
Oh my goodness. So
I loved it.
So my wish and dream now with DC Rebirth, Ted Kord is alive.
Oh, yeah,
they're doing a new Blue Beetle series, but it's mostly focused around Ted Kord teaching Jaime Reyes
yeah.
on how to be the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, the latest Blue Beetle.
I want my deepest desires want a new Blue and Gold comic, or at least a new comic centered around
the two
of them.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest question to you, with all of your knowledge,
right,
the encyclopedia, who would you recommend to write that?
I have a couple that I think would do very well. So, like, my short list consists of, I think, Mark Waid.
Really?
Very good Booster/ Blue Beetle comic.
He
has humorous
he helped write the 2011 run of booster gold with Jurgens, or at least some of it with Jurgens.
Well, he was involved in the whole 52 events.
Right.
Like, that was Wade, right. Morrison, and those guys. And Keith Giffen, who also wrote, formerly known as, and, like, right. wrote JLI. So I think Mark Wade, with his really solid writing ability, humor, heart, he would definitely be able to do that.
I wouldn't want to see a Giffen retread. I think he's done just about everything he can with those two.
No, I feel like we got to get some fresh blood. So I think Wade would, and Paul Dini, of all people.
What does he write?
Well, Paul Dini was involved in all the Justice League cartoons, Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, okay.
Like, he modernized the DC animated universe.
And interesting.
He gave a really good Booster Gold episode. So I think if he wrote a Booster Gold comic, that would be really
good. That'd be really good.
Because he's a good writer.
What do you think about the idea of Nick Spencer writing it?
Nick Spencer, that did cross my mind.
Because he did such a good job.
Why not?
Right? Like,
why not?
He did such a good job with all the B-list guys in
He's really good at that kind of stuff. So, like, he had a really funny Ant-Man run, too. So, I mean, he definitely would be a good choice.
Yeah, so, like, I don't see any reason why not, right? Like, that seems like an okay idea to me, at least.
Absolutely.
Is there anybody else that you think would be, like, on the short list for that? Or is it just, like, those two or three?
I would say maybe Tom King,
okay.
who has done a lot of good stuff. He's writing Mr. Miracle right now. He did Vision for Marvel. He's really good at, like, writing, like, very, like, lower tier characters and then popularizing them again.
Okay.
So if we got him on Booster and Blue Beetle, I think they would become, like, a big hit, and everyone would, like, really like that.
I really want them to be a big hit. They're such a good duo.
They're great. They just don't get the same exposure that, like, other characters get.
Could you imagine how awesome it would be if they wrote them as, like, an actual for realsies gay couple?
That would be very bold.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's one thing to have that in kind of the Injustice universe, but, like, in the mainstream DCU, that would be very bold.
They have maintained the two of them together over the course of a lot of their comics that they're not.
Well, and I mean, they both have had significant relationships,
right,
with other people.
So, like, the two ways that I personally would want to see it go is either that, have them be an actual couple together, or really, really explore Ted Kord's relationship with Barbara Gordon.
I kind of like the idea of them being just very tight friends, like,
yeah.
just the bromance aspect of it, but just...
Is that easier for comedy?
I think so, yeah. Like, I just like the idea of them being very good friends and just having that love, that friendship love for each other and always having each other's backs, you know what I mean?
I can dig it. But, like, yeah, so then in that case...
It'd be interesting, though.
In that case, then I feel like they really... Because they haven't really explored it as well as they should, right? Like, the love between Cord and Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, that was alluded to in formerly known as...
Well, yeah, and it's brought out more in the open. Like, Rip Hunter... In the 2011 run, when Booster is attempting to save Ted Kord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rip, in order to try and deter Booster, knowing that Booster's going to get the crap kicked out of him a whole bunch, says, well, if you want to save Ted Kord, like, first save the woman he loves, right? Like, mm-hmm. save Barbara Gordon from being Oracle.
Yeah, and
Oracle.
Then he has to relive that moment. In a
over and loop, over and over and
just,
over
like,
again.
Insane.
So, like, that just kind of shows how far he's willing to go.
Yeah, he really cares about his friend.
He pretty much almost dies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Booster Gold comes, like, super close to dying trying to save Barbara Gordon and Ted Kord. Like,
he's very much a lighthearted character, but he has definitely seen and done some very, very heavy things.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. I think that would be really, really interesting. I think you have to keep a really simplistic art style. I've seen some of the really nice ones, like the Jurgens Johns run from 2011 had, like, really standardized, nice comic book artwork. Mm-hmm.
Kind of the house style art, if you will.
Like, yeah, like, really, really good shading and lighting and everything like that. But, like, I really feel like you have to go with a simplistic style art, right? Like, the way that it wasn't formerly known as.
Yeah, kind of a...
You have to.
A less exaggerated style and more of just an everyday kind of just normal minimalist type of look for that comic.
What about Aja from who did
Aja? That'd be interesting.
It'd be really good, right?
Yeah, I can see it.
That'd be super cool.
That'd
I think,
be interesting
for the
yeah.
two of them.
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of if the two of them, if we were to get this comic, what kind of rogues gallery would you like
oh
to see?
Oh my goodness, rogues gallery for Booster and Blue Beetle. I would want a bunch of maybe D-list villains, because it has to match their style and tone of, like, the book.
Yeah, I mean, like, there obviously has to be a climax where they go up against, like, an A-lister
a big villain
and win, or either muck it up so badly that they get help from the Justice League.
Absolutely. But a bunch of, like, lower-tier villains would be cool to see. Who would you pick, first of all?
So for the climax, I absolutely think, and I don't know, I think it would be super, super good. But, and correct me with this, but if I'm wrong, but it'd be super fun and awesome if, like, the climax villain was Red Lantern Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner is the villain. That is an amazing idea. By the way, Brian was also on my list of people to write Booster.
Michael Bendis?
No, you.
Me?
Yeah,
me?
That idea is just amazing. Like,
no.
I have never thought of that. Guy Gardner is villain? That's such a good idea.
That's okay. All right. Maybe.
Don't be humble, my friends.
I don't know about that. I'm not a good writer, though. I'm not a good writer.
That was a solid idea. Guy Gardner as a villain would be cool. Maybe a bunch of, like, D-list...
digging all the way back into their past and stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
so,
I guess,
like,
that's true,
What are some really good Blue Beetle villains from the past? Mr. Moonface?
Well, I guess people
I think would be a pretty okay one.
Dan Garrett version of Blue Beetle, like the original JSA Blue Beetle.
Yeah, so Mr. Moonface, the Sphinx would be probably fairly okay. Yeah. The Black Beetle, I think, would be...
Yeah, Black
would
Beetle
be a really good
sure.
one.
Definitely.
Coyote.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Dr. Polaris might not be
Dr.
bad either.
Dr. Polaris would be very cool to see. Maybe some Legion of Doom members, so like Dr. Polaris...
What about Gorilla Grodd?
Gorilla Grodd would be interesting. Maybe the Shade, if you know who that is.
What's
he controls shadows.
Interesting.
He appeared in a bunch of Justice League episodes.
Okay, well
that was a really cool.
That might be interesting.
Yeah.
What about what about the Manhunters?
That would be cool. Definitely,
yeah?
Like some more. Yeah, I think the Manhunters would be interesting. Maybe some more cosmic or kind of bigger level threats. Like, imagine them taking on someone like Mongol.
What about, it's the Royal Flush Gang.
The Royal Flush Gang?
Yeah.
The Royal Flush Gang, yeah.
That'd be really good, right?
Good idea. Solomon Grundy.
Yeah!
Imagine that.
Yeah!
Solomon Grundy.
Man, could you imagine also, like...
Clayface?
If we're going to... Yeah, okay, some B-list Batman.
Kind of some, yeah.
Some B-list Batman villains,
Booster
too.
Booster Gold is from Gotham himself. Like,
right.
That's where he's from.
Right, he was a quarterback in
Gotham
State.
So he would know
Gotham
these villains very well just historically because they would have been legendary to him in the future.
So then, yeah, and then I guess you could go and, like, they could be doing, like, a time thing where, like...
Yeah, definitely
Booster,
incorporate a lot of, like,
Booster realizes what the heck's going on and they try to get rid of, like, all of... Every time they go and eliminate someone that would kill Ted Kord...
It creates, like, a fractured timeline.
Someone else, right? So, like,
that would be a cool idea.
They got to get Max Lord, and then they got to get Killer Croc, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I really think a heavy Oracle influence would be great.
Yeah, Oracle, the Birds of Prey. Yep, very, very solid idea.
Cool. So, that was a good conversation. I really enjoyed that. Moving on to the last section, going to highlight some of the bestsellers from last week, some new releases, and then some questions for Curtis before we head out. So, bestsellers for the week of September the 10th, Batman number 30, Walking Dead 171. Of course, interrupt me if you want to talk about any of these, if you have something you want to say about any way, shape, or form.
Batman is just very good.
Right. So, Walking Dead 171, Justice League 28, Superman 30,
yeah.
Darth Vader number 5, Astonishing X-Men number 3, Harley Quinn 27, Seven to Eternity.
That's
come on,
a really
Brian.
Good comic.
Is it?
Seven to Eternity.
I haven't read any of it.
Rick Remender, who wrote Uncanny X-Force,
I
mentioned last week, and an artist named Jerome Opeña.
Is it super good?
Mind-blowing.
Yeah?
One of the best things
I've
ever
read. So I'm checking that out then, yeah?
Oh, yeah, kay. Definitely.
So Seven to Eternity number 9.
Yeah, good.
Venomverse number 1, which is odd, and I'll explain why in a minute, and X-Men Gold number 11. So those are last week's top 10 best-selling.
Okay.
Which is really, it's so heavily DC.
A lot of DC, yeah.
Really heavily DC. Like crazy DC.
They have a lot of good traction going.
Which is so weird because, like, doesn't Marvel still have, like, a 35% market share right now?
It does, I believe so, or around that level. It's just more people seem to be digging what DC is putting
out.
Well,
I mean,
right,
Jeff Johns is doing such a good job overseeing everything.
We'll see what Marvel Legacy does because that's going to be their
are you
DC
reading
Rebirth, so to speak.
Okay. Are you reading any of the Rebirth stuff right now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm reading Batman, Superman, Green Arrow. I was reading Wonder Woman, Flash.
How good is that Green Arrow? I was thinking about
Green Arrow. Is very good.
It's super
good? One of the most consistently good titles that's coming out right now.
Yeah, right on. I'll have to check it out then.
I love it.
Okay, so notable releases coming up this week. Batman, The Red Death, which is tied into the heavy metal story arc.
Yeah, Dark Knight's metal.
Yeah. Being written by Josh Williamson. Flash number 30, which is starting a new storyline, Bloodwork, also being written by Josh Williamson.
Yeah, that's right.
Doctor Strange number 25, which is a double-sized issue, being written by John Barber.
Okay.
Venomverse number 3, which is why Venomverse number 1 being part of the bestsellers last week is odd to me, because why would Venomverse number 1 be a bestseller when Venomverse number 2 is already out and number 3 is just about to come out this week? Weird. I don't understand. But it's being written by Cullen Bunn.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Venomverse?
Venomverse is maybe a good idea in concept, but in execution...
Not good?
Probably lacking.
So I should stay away from that?
I don't think I would. That
Why
would be
is it so bad?
I think Venomverse is just a gimmick. I wouldn't say it's a very story-driven...
Is it like Planet Hulk?
It would just be, it's about a bunch of people being infected by symbiotes, and it's a Venomverse because it's now a bunch of symbiotes running rampant in the world.
I can't understand
why. Good idea
why,
on paper, not why, necessarily an execution.
Why is that
though.
A good idea, though?
It's interesting having morally good people being infected by symbiotes, which kind of drives your darkest urges forth, and it's kind of the philosophy, so you can do really cool things with it. I just don't think they're going to, because they're not thinking that hard about it.
Hasn't that idea been kind of played out with how many times they've made, how many different comics, and how many different times they've made Spider-Man? Like Peter Parker into Venom.
Yeah, it's definitely been explored before, so I don't know if we're getting anything particularly new. Venom is just a character that sells visually. He's a striking character, so I mean,
yeah,
people are gonna pick
there are
up
so many
stuff.
People that I see walking around wearing like
Venom
hoodies.
They see a cover, right, and they're gonna buy.
Yeah,
based on
I've
that.
Never been a super big fan of Venom. I don't know why. I just Eddie Brock.
When written well, he can be interesting.
Eddie Brock, I guess.
I always like Carnage though.
Yeah, Carnage is pretty good. I was really interested in Venom during the Ultimate Spider-Man run by Brian Michael Bendis, and there's a video game out called Ultimate Spider-Man where you actually get
good.
To play as Venom,
very
and it's probably one of the better comic book games I've
really enjoyed
played.
It.
And then, of course, X-Men Gold number 12, written by Mark Guggenheim,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, number 10 was on the list, or 11 was on the list last week.
Right.
Any surprises?
No, I mean, X-Men generally will sell. Batman always will sell. Those are all things I expected to be at the top. I'm surprised Runaways and Mr. Miracle aren't
there. Well, I mean, like, Mr. Miracle's really good.
It's one of my favorite things out right now.
But it is niche.
Yeah, it definitely, he's not a super well-known character, but that creative team is super good.
Fair.
Tom King is writing Batman right now, so I mean...
Fair. I do agree, though, that it's kind of weird to me that Runaways isn't on there. So we got a couple more minutes. Curtis, what are you reading this week?
What am I reading? I'm for sure going to be picking up the new Batman stuff. New Green Arrow issue comes out this week. New Superman. So those are all things I'm reading. From the Marvel side, not really so much for me. Other than that, I've just been currently reading Avengers by Jonathan Hickman.
Which is super good.
You posted
a picture of that on your Instagram, which is King Kurtiki, by the way, in case you're curious.
Right.
He posts something
new
every single Wednesday.
Every Wednesday for
every
my
Wednesday,
collection.
Which you should check out.
Man,
that Reed Richards costume is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
so
good.
It's the Future Foundation.
It's so slick.
It's there's the Marvel Illuminati, and they basically run the world.
Shit.
And there's all these universal incursions happening where worlds are phasing into each other. And they have to, like, stop the collapse of the multiverse.
That's wicked.
It's just a huge, grand concept.
I'm eventually going to get into Hickman's Fantastic Four because you keep talking about it.
This is a natural progression after.
Right.
It reads as one big saga.
As soon as I'm finished with that, which is something I'm eventually going to get into, I promise.
Oh, you have to. We're going to talk about that when you do.
Perfect. Sounds good. So I have a trip this weekend. I'm going on a drive. I'm leaving town for a while. I have about 12 hours worth of car time in which I am not driving. What am I reading, Curtis?
I mean, I would recommend Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Because that is, like, a super good run. I would recommend that. Or I'd recommend modern stuff. If you haven't read Scott Snyder's Batman run.
I have Court of the Owls.
Yeah,
Night
well,
of the
if
Owls,
you want to keep
brilliant.
Going with that, burn through that run. There's 52 issues, okay. So I mean, you probably read like the first, what, 12 issues?
24.
Really? You read 24 issues?
I read the first 24 issues of that.
Well, that would go all the way up into Zero Year.
Yes.
With the Riddler.
Yeah.
So keep reading that. Check out Hickman's Fantastic Four. Check out...
if I want to read something funny.
Read something funny, I would go with maybe The Fix by Nick Spencer.
Okay. The Fix? Yeah. I've actually got that.
And
so
you like Nick Spencer.
That's on the list.
So
I've got I want to read that. Cool. So that's really awesome. Want to thank everybody for joining us here today. It's been a blast as usual. And of course, you can catch us on the Twitter at BTP Comic UMFM, or of course on email Beyond the Panel UMFM@gmail.com. Want to thank you very much for sticking around with us today. You can catch us on the SoundCloud, of course, on UMFM's website. And if you have any questions, feel free to hit us up. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you guys next time. We'll be right back.